All right, first of all, I want to say a big shakal to all you. Big shakal. You deserve it. Give yourself an applause. We had rough times during the year in terms of coming to chakras, and it's a hard thing. And we had a very big chizuk, mamash, a huge chizuk. 2 weeks before Purim, we had to give a special thank you to Just Heisman. Thank you. We had a very big, big chizuk. Mamish, I think attendance went up, or so, I don't know the number. Probably something like a man, okay? It was really, really a big chizuk. And I really, a big, big shukar to you guys. Okay, now, even though, obviously, there were some guys that still had a couple of difficulties, but even those guys that had a hard time, they still did much better than they did until now. So that was amazing. And I said to Shalom last night, Baruch Hashem, we had the war with Iran, so we didn't have to throw anybody out. Baruch Hashem, we couldn't throw anybody out. But okay. But one of the Rabbanim was asking me, he was saying, like, really, what's the point of it, really? Baruch Hashem, we had a good chizuk, right? But on the other hand, it's because we were, you know, at least in part, because there was some kind of like a threat looming over you, you know, and there was consequences and there was punishments or whatever. And maybe we took them seriously, maybe we didn't take them seriously, but myself, that's definitely a big motivator. But in 2 weeks from now, there ain't going to be nobody's going to be over your back. There ain't going to be no sign-up sheet. Taka, it might be good to have a sign-up sheet for yourself, just your own sign-up sheet. Just like to mark it off for yourself, keep track of yourself. It's just staminata. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. I have a kollel in the morning that I go to. That I daven before. I learn a little before davening, either before or after davening. And it's something that I always wanted to do, to wake up a little earlier and learn before davening. Always wanted to do it. And I never had the ability, my alarm would go off and I would just hit the snooze, 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 snooze. My wife would drive my wife crazy. Snooze, snooze, snooze for an hour. And then I'd go to the regular minion. But I never had the willpower to wake up earlier and to daven and to learn before davening. And the guy started this learning program in the shul. Moshe David Weisman, you know, yeah. And he started this learning program in the shul before davening. And Mamish, What is it? What is the whole thing? Okay, there's also a little stipend, but the stipend really isn't it's not really a big deal. It's a couple of shkalim. The main thing is just that there's a sheet that you just check, put a check by your name that you were at davening, put a check that by your name that you learned before after davening. It's mamish amazing. Just that thing that you have to make a check by your name. And yeah, he looks at it also at the end of this month, but it didn't make a difference if he looks at it, doesn't look at it. What matters is for me, I make that check. First of all, you get like a pump of endorphins, whatever it is, when you make that check, and it's just an amazing mechayev, just a simple thing like that. So I give an eitzah to everybody, take it or leave it, but I think it's a really powerful tool. Make yourself a chart, make a chart for yourself that you fill out. Nobody else needs to see it. Really, nobody else needs to see it. You push, put a check by your name, put a check every day by you get to davening, you learned a little bit, you know, make yourself a chart for the things that you want to do, at least for Ben Zman. But we're not talking about Ben Zman, but my point is that in 2 weeks, this Rav was telling me, in 2 weeks, there's not going to be any consequences or nothing. So what's the big deal? Like, what are we gaining over here? What are we gaining that we made the boys come to dominate for 2 weeks? Halavai, you know, continues. But what's the idea? What do we gain so much? And we were talking it out, and I think there's many in Yonim here, but I think one particular thing is really shaykh very much to the lesson of Purim, the lesson of Amalek, and shaykh for us, and this I think is the most important thing to take with us as we progress and as we continue with our lives, really. And every year and every time we hit something like this, it'll mechazik the point, mechazik the nekuda. The idea is like this. The concept is that we taught you guys one thing. And that one thing that we taught you is not to let yourselves have your identity stolen. Don't let your identity be stolen. I'll start with that, and I'm going to explain it as we go along. So we just finished the whole Indian of Amalek. Purim, Zachor, the whole Indian of Amalek. The Rambam writes in Parsha Zachor, the Rambam writes, what is the mitzvah of Parsha Zachor? What is it? Who can tell me? What is it? Yeah.
To remember.
To remember. So how do we remember?
By reading
the thing. So that's it. So we remember. We read the psukim, and we remembered. The Rambam writes, that's not enough. The Rambam writes, just the remembering is not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to awaken, by remembering, to awaken inside of us a hatred for Amalek, and a readiness to fight that Amalek whenever he comes up. That's what the Rambam writes. The mitzvah is, again, it's to awaken ourselves, it's to remember, but the remembering is not the ikar. The ikar is to awaken in ourselves a hatred for Amalek and a readiness to be willing to fight at any moment. And the question really is, first of all, why would we hate Amalek? What is there about Amalek that we hate? And to fight him any moment, like we don't even know who Amalek is nowadays. We're not fighting any Amalek any nowadays. What does it mean? What does the whole idea mean? So Moshe Shapiro explained like this. He said, Amalek represents the Yetzer in its essence. And what is the biggest, why should we hate the Yetzer? We should hate the Yetzer, guys. Why should we hate the Yetzer? So he explains like this. He says, in Gan Eden, right? In Gan Eden, we had the ability to sin. We had the ability to sin. Right? How do we know that we had the ability to sin in Gan Eden? Because we sinned, right? So we had the ability to sin in Gan Eden. But it was an outside, external force, right? You had a nachash. A nachash came. It was a separate body from you. And it started talking to you. And it was convincing you. Okay, fine. It would convince you. And it would work on you. But it was outside. It was external. It was doing what's called pitui. Pitui means what? Pitui is seduction, right? It means it was trying to seduce you. But it's also from the language of peti. Peti. Who knows what a peti is? Anybody know what a peti is? A peti is a fool. Meaning, the fool, he believes everything that you tell him, right? Tell him anything, he'll believe you. That's a fool, right? If you use wisdom, if you use your seichel, use your intellect, you can overcome. You can overcome the seduction. The Yetzer is outside from you. He's trying to convince you. He's trying to convince you to do this. You have the ability, using seichel, to overcome that. But what happens after we eat from the Eitz HaDaas? What happens after we eat it? Now it's no longer external. Now it's ledaas tovara. What does it mean, ledaas tovara? What is daas? What is daas? And what daas is? We talked a lot about it by Emuna, right? By Emuna day, it's not you have to believe in Hashem. It's you have to know Hashem, daas. You have to know Hashem. What does daas mean? Daas means it's the things that I live with. It's the things that exist in my emotional reality. In other words, I know various things that I know are bad for me, but I still do them anyway. I can take a classic example of somebody who smokes. A person who smokes, right? He knows that smoking is bad for you. He doesn't need the Surgeon General's warning on the cigarette box to tell him that smoking kills and causes cancer. Everybody knows it. At this point in history, every single person on the street knows that smoking kills you, right? It's not like all of a sudden he looks at the pack and says, whoa, smoking kills. Forget that. I'm not like, no, like that doesn't happen, right? He knows it already. He knows it. But he still smokes. Why does he still smoke? Most times because he knows it somewhere in his head, but he doesn't live that emotional reality. He doesn't live that. It's something that he intellectually is aware of, but he doesn't actually live that. He doesn't make decisions based on that. What will happen? Sometimes to a smoker, what happens is he'll get diagnosed with lung cancer. That's for sure. He gets diagnosed with lung cancer, and then all of a sudden, that's a wake-up call. That hits him right between the eyes. Now he's living that reality. Even still, some people don't have the ability to quit. But sometimes that'll do it. That'll make a person quit, or somebody close to them get lung cancer. Somebody close to them gets lung cancer, and then all of a sudden, they'll be like, oh my gosh, this is real, right? That's because now they're living it in their emotions. They're living it in their reality. Okay, this is, by the way, the main point of what Musr is all about. What's the main idea of Musr? Right? Most of us, we know what we're supposed to do. We know what we're supposed to do. Like the Messiah Sharm writes, we already know everything that it's going to be in there. We know already. We know what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. The problem is not living it. We don't live it. We know it in our brains. We don't actually live that way. There's a separation, right? Like Rabbi Shmuel Salanter said, the biggest separation between that exists in the world, the biggest distance that exists in the world is between the heart and the mind. What I know in my mind is not what I live, right? But what is Musr, the whole idea of Musr trying to do? It's trying to take the knowledge that I have in my head and bring it down into my heart. Make it as real as possible to me. I'm not getting into exactly how you're supposed to do that with Musr, but that's the idea of Musr. So the point is that we know already what we're supposed to do, right? We just don't live that way. We don't have that because that's what we did. That's what the sin was by the Eitz HaDaas. Eitz HaDaas Tovara means that now it's in our Das. Das is not just what we know in our head. What we know in our head is the Seichel. It's Chochmah. What we have in our hearts, that's called Das. What we live with, that's our emotional reality. That's what we believe in our bones. That's called Das. And then we had Eitz HaDaas Tovara. That means we had the Ra inside our bones itself. We lived with the Ra itself. One of the boys pointed out to me last week that that's mamish what happened in last week's Parsha. Last week's Parsha also, B'nai Yisrael got to Har Sinai. They were at the point where it was completely free of the Eitz HaHara. It says in the Sukkim that Hashem gave Moshe the Luchos. They were Charut al Luchos. Charut, the Aseret HaDibros were Charut al Luchos. What does Charut mean?
Engraved,
okay? Chazal tell us that it wasn't just engraved. It was all the way through the stone. All the way through the stone. Right, not just like etched in, where you can like see the letters, but you can still see stone behind it. Mamish engraved all the way through. You could see on the other side. If I was holding Luchos right here, I'd be able to see Yoni. All the way through. And it was a miracle that, first of all, you guys know in the Gemara Megillah, maybe some of you already started, there was a miracle that the Mem Sofit and the Samech, the middle of the Mem Sofit and the Samech stood in midair. That was one miracle. The other miracle is that even if I would turn it the other way, where it should be backwards and unable to be read, you would also be able to be read, both sides. So many, many miracles were with the Luchos. But Chazal also darshan on Charut. They say, Altikr Charut el Cherut. Don't read it as Charut engraved, read it as Cherus, as freedom. Freedom from the Yitzhahara, freedom from the Satan, freedom from the Malach HaMamis. And B'nai Yisrael got to the point where there was no more Yitzhahara. What does it mean that there was no more Yitzhahara? It means that the Torah had penetrated us, just like the engraving was all the way through the stone, so too also the Torah had entered into Klal Yisrael. When Hashem spoke at Har Sinai, we heard Hashem's voice telling us Torah. That was so strong, so powerful, it went straight through us, all the way, penetrated all the way through us, to the point where we were mamish had no more Yitzhara. We had gotten back to the point. Now, we had no more Yitzhara, how did we sin? So the answer is, the Yitzhara was from Yichutz. It was outside, it was external. And that's why in the Rashis and the Parsha, it was all these things that something had to do. He made it dark in the world, and it was very confusing. And then he showed Moshe Rabbeinu's casket being brought in Shemayim, to all these external things, external factors that made Israel think that Moshe was dead and that they needed a new leader and they were going to be lost. So the Eitz HaHara was outside, it was external. We got back to that point, but then we sinned. Once we sinned, what happens? Again, we bring back in the Ra inside of ourselves. And when we have the Ra inside of ourselves, that's the biggest thing to hate. That's the worst thing that can happen to you. Why is that the worst thing that can happen to you? Chazal called the Eitz HaHara Tzfoni. In the Gemara Sukkah and Beis Amud Aleph, there's seven different names that the Eitz HaHara has. One of them is Tzfoni. What does Tzfoni mean? Tzfoni. Anybody know what Tzfoni means? What's a Matzpun? Anybody know in modern Hebrew what Matzpun is? Matzpun is a conscious. All right? Like a guilty conscious. Tzfun means something that's hidden. It's inside you. It's buried. Tzfun means hidden, literally hidden. Okay? Like the Afikoman, it's hidden. Right? So it's something that's hidden inside of us. The Eitz HaHara, one of the names of Eitz HaHara is that it is hidden. That's the definition of the Eitz HaHara. It's hidden inside of us. What does it mean that it's hidden inside of us? It means that we relate, we identify with the Eitz HaHara so much so that we don't even realize that it's a har anymore. We think it's us. We think it's ourselves. We said before, right? When somebody's coming to seduce you, right? Petty. So if you're smart, you can outsmart him. But when you think it's yourself talking to yourself, There's no argument. You're just telling yourself that this is what you want to do. You can't overcome yourself with seichel. It's yourself that's talking, right? When we wake up in the morning and we say, oh, I just want 5 more minutes of sleep. Or we wake up in the morning and we say, oh, I'm not down. I'm not down to go today. Or we're at Seder and we're learning the Chavrusa, and Chavrusa wants to learn, and we're like talking about, I don't know what, talking about sports. And the Chavrusa is like, come on, let's get cracking at this Ritva. And you're like, I'd rather talk about sports. Do you guys hear those sentences? I want to sleep for 5 minutes. I am not down. I want to talk about sports. It's all I. That means that you have completely identified with the Yitzhahara. Let's say Yitzhahara's talking. That's not who you really are. It's the Yitzhahara. But you've completely and wholeheartedly embraced the Yitzhahara to the point where you think it's yourself. It's you who's talking. I am not down. I am tired. I don't want to learn today. You've completely embraced the Yitzhahara to the point where you don't even recognize that it's somebody else. Somebody else talking from your own mouth. It's you. You feel like it's you. This is the Yitzhahara has hijacked ourselves. He's hijacked ourselves. He's taken over. This is the thing that you have to hate the most. Somebody who takes over your own identity. He's taken over yourself and is now living through you while you're somewhere in the background just watching in terror as this person is just taking over your body. That's the biggest source of hatred you can have. He's taken over our identities. Sometimes this is a useful tool to overcome the Yitzhahara. The Chafetz Chaim, the story with the Chafetz Chaim. When he was an old man already. And he said to his Talmidim that in the morning he woke up and he said, I'm too old already. Why don't I go to Shabbat on time? And then he said to himself, no, who's talking right now? Who's talking? Who's talking? It's the Yitzhahara. It's the Yitzhahara who's talking. Oh, the Yitzhahara is much older than me. And if he woke up so early to get to my bed to come talk to me this early in the morning, so I can also wake up early and go to Dami. That's a famous story. It was a whole time, no? Yeah. I remember being named in the Chafetz Chaim. And he was already older. Hey, the Yitzhahara is so old. He's much older than me. He's thousands of years old. And he woke up so early to come to talk to me, to tell me to stay in bed, so now I can get up also and I can go out of bed. In other words, if you take a look, if you look at the Yitzhahara as something external, somebody coming to talk to you, somebody trying to convince you to do something that you don't really want to do, then it's a lot easier. It can be a lot easier. I'm not saying it's obviously it's not 100%, but it's a lot easier to overcome. This is also, I think, one of the main points of Purim. I spoke to the guys in my shiur about this. One of the main ideas of Purim, and I think one of the things that you can most take away, one of the most things that you can most take away from Purim, is to see how you are and how everybody else is when you're drunk. Okay, and yes, people take it overboard and they throw up all over the place and it's disgusting. But even still, even with all that, like famously a janitor said in Lakewood, the day after Purim, he said, if this was me and my buddies having this party, we would all be in jail by nightfall. We'd all be in jail by nightfall because that's who those people are. So yes, do the people in Lakewood act crazy and do irresponsible things? Yes. And did we also? Yeah, of course we did. Yes. But what were the irresponsible things that we did already, right? How bad was it already? And most of the guys are just talking about how much they want to learn and how much they wish they would be able to dive in with more kavana and how much they wish they would remember their Torah. And that's emes. That's emes. So it means that when you were drinking, it came out of you who you really are. That's who you really are. You really are tzaddikim. You're all tzaddikim. You're all tzaddikim. Did anybody here get to go to jail after Purim? Did anybody smile? No, right? We're tzaddikim. Guys, you have to appreciate that. Appreciate who you are. You had no inhibitions. You were You were with a bunch of guys that were also without inhibitions, and you could have done whatever you wanted, but you're all tzaddikim, mamish, tzaddikim. We have to recognize who we are. Recognize who we are. Recognize our the emes of the person inside of us. We can't let the Yitzhara take over our lives, take over our identity, and make us believe that we are him. And again, I'm 43 years old, a little bit older than you guys, and I still have this issue. I still have it. And I'm sure that Rav and Rav Katz also have it. But we can work on it, and we can use this tool. It's a tool that we can use. We have a few days, mamish, a couple of days we have before the end of the month. A couple of days. We're in a crazy time. We have sirens and we have sheer. We're in the middle of the hallway and between the stairwells because we have sirens going on. You guys are still here. You guys are the few and the proud. The ones that can mamish keep shying until the end. We have a few days left. That's it. It's mamish. 8 days of shear, something like that. You know who you are. Your tzaddikim. Your neshamas. Your steigers. And you guys have the ability to learn shtark for the next 8 days. To give yourself that chizik. To come davening on time, to learn a little bit shtickle before davening. To come to Seder on time and to learn with your chavrusas, to learn, to shteig away. It's hard. Nobody's going to say it's not hard. It's hard. It's sunny outside, even though it's cold today, but it's sunny outside and it's mefate. There's definitely a pitu either. We have to remember who we are. Don't let the Yitzhara convince us that we don't. I'm not down. I don't want to learn today. I'm not interested. In the parsha that we just read in Kitisa, it says there this pasuk. It says, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, k'sav lecha et dvarim ha'eleh." Write down these words. Ki al pi hadvarim ha'eleh karati itcha bris ves Yisrael. Alpi, these things. What does alpi mean in this pasuk? In this context, what does alpi mean? Based on, probably the best way to say it. Based on, right? Based on these things, I have established a bris with you, with Klal Yisrael. I've made a covenant with Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara in Gittin says that this is dafka alpi. It says, could have said other words. It says alpi because it wants to say that it's dafka the Torah Shebaal Peh. Dafka the Torah Shebaal Peh is the bris that Hashem makes with Klal Yisrael. Dafka the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Midrash Tanchuma has a whole long, beautiful, beautiful piece explaining, talking about this pasuk. I found it in Parshas Noach, but it's in other places as well. Beautiful, beautiful ideas that are in this Midrash. And the Midrash says, why is it Dafka? Why is it that it's Dafka on the Torah Shebaal Peh that Hashem makes the bris with us? First of all, the Torah Shebaal Peh is the prat. The Torah Shebaal Peh is the prat. The Torah Shebichtav is the klal, and the Torah Shebaal Peh is the prat. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Torah Shebichtav means we have a pasuk. The pasuk says, Ki kach ish isha. That's what the pasuk says. That's it. What does Torah Shebaal Peh do with that pasuk? With those four words. What does the Torah Shebaal Peh do with that four words? 80 block called Maseches Kiddushin. That's what the Torah Shebaal Peh does with those words. You had a klal. It was a general statement. Ki kach ish isha. And the Torah Shebaal Peh takes it and Del gives us the details. Gives us all the prakim. All the different details that can come out from that pasuk. That's Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is the prakim. Torah Shebaal Peh is the klal. And it says in the Midrash there, that Torah Shebaal Peh, it's hard. Torah Shebaal Peh is hard. There's no question. It's Aruch Min Hayam. It's long. The Tanchuma there is answering the famous question. B'nai Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma, why did Hashem have to be kafalei marka gigis? Everybody knows the question? We know in the Pesukim it says that B'nai Yisrael come, Moshe says, Hashem wants to give you the Torah, and we all said, Nasa v'nishma, amazing, beautiful, right? But the other midrash says that we were tachtit ahar, Which means that what? Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up the mountain, put it over our heads, and said, either you accept the Torah or you're going to die here. It's a stira. What do you mean? We already said Nasa Menishma. What do you need to cover away and mark your gigas? Why do you have to force us? So there's many different answers. The Midrash Tanhuma is answering this exact answer. Torah Shbichtav, that was accepted. We're very happy to do Torah Shbichtav. Nasa Menishma. But Torah Shbapet, Torah Shbapet is very hard. It's very difficult. That we needed the, and that's the bris. That's the bris that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because that's all the details. Without that, we wouldn't have a bris with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And it's only through a love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Midrash says. Only with a love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, only then can we actually get to Torah Shabbat. If we don't love it, we're not going to get it. Why not? Because it takes tremendous effort. You can't do something if you don't love doing it. You can start. You can try. Once you start, then hopefully you enjoy it, and then hopefully you can continue it. But it's a very hard thing. It needs a love. You need to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Love HaKadosh Baruch Hu like as if you had a girlfriend who wrote you a letter. Your relish wrote you a letter. Well, how would you read that letter? Okay, we're guests. Guys, we wouldn't read it even more than once. But if a girl gets a love letter from a guy, right, she reads it 20, 30 times. She reads it until there's holes in it from holding it so much. Because she's medayik in every word. She's medayik. She cares everything that he wrote there. And the Torah is kiviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love letter to us. Because Rohan wrote a love letter to us. And he wrote. And he told us everything that he loves, everything that he hates. And that's exactly what Torah Shebaal-Peh is all about. Torah Shebaal-Peh is trying to see, be medayik, every single word, every single thing. What does Hashem really mean here? What does Hashem really want when he said this? If you love Hashem, if you look at that as a love letter from Hashem, then you can really, that's when you can go into the details and you can try to figure out every single detail that HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes. If not, it's not going to go. So guys, we learned a lesson by Purim. We learned a lesson by Amalek. We hate Amalek because they stole our identity. We hate the Yetzer Hara because they're stealing our identity. And we're fighting. We're willing to fight that at every moment. Every moment we have to fight for who we really are, who we truly are. We fight for that. We're willing to go to war for that because that's who we are. And we have to remember what we saw of ourselves on Purim, in past Purim, in this Purim, what we've seen ourselves this whole Zman, that we are tzaddikim. And this is what I was trying to say about the diamond sheets. What did we teach you guys? We taught you guys that you have it in you. You have it in you to do it, to get up, when you want to get up. A lot of times we just say, oh, I just can't. I can't do it. We showed you. You showed yourselves. And you turned around a year of attendance that was less than satisfactory, and you made it mamish an amazing turnaround. You guys have that power inside of you. You have it. And you saw that on Purim, and you saw that with the davening, and B'zah Hashem will continue to see it, and we'll have a great next 2 weeks of learning Shtark and heading to Pesach, really feeling on the top of the world, making best use of our time here. Shkoyach, everybody.